Welcome to Branch Out, a Connection Builders podcast, helping middle market professionals connect, grow, and excel in their careers. Through a series of conversations with leading professionals, we share stories and insights to take your career to the next level. A successful career begins with meaningful connections.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Branch Out podcast. I'm your host, Alex Drost. Today's episode, we continue the conversation on investing in your professional growth, and we have Elliot Holland, a managing director with Guardian Due Diligence. Elliot and his team specialize in helping family offices execute on direct private equity deals. We spend time today discussing how we must always be seeking opportunities for growth in both our professional and personal lives, and some of the challenges that come along with this. I hope you all enjoy.
Connect and grow your network. We are on LinkedIn. Search for Connection Builders.
Elliot, welcome to the Branch Out Podcast. Looking forward to having you on here today.
Yes, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Elliot, you and I are here today to talk about investing in your professional growth. And maybe it's helpful if we just start out with you just sharing, you know, what does it mean to you? If I say, hey, invest in your professional growth, what does that mean? Share some of your thoughts around that.
Yeah, I think for me, a lot of us stop professional growth sort of when we finish college or grad school or whatever sort of our, you know, entry level job is. I think investing in your growth is sort of recognizing that you get paid to solve problems. To solve problems, you need skills. Skills are changing every single day. And so every sort of day, week, month, year that you're not investing in yourself, you're almost moving backwards relative to those who are. And whether that's reading with the sort of influx of classes you can take online through Udemy or even through, you know, top rated institutions, investing in yourself is just making sure that you're managing the knowledge you want to have to deliver sort of whatever you're delivering in the marketplace at the highest level.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I really want to hook on to something you said there. You're paid to solve problems, right? In our listener base being what we say middle market professionals, being people that are in a service-based industry typically where you really are being paid by your clients simply to solve problems, right? And you do a lot of financial diligence work. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you're giving them a report that highlights the same things that arguably anybody else they hired should find the same things, relatively speaking.
Plus or minus, yes.
You're being paid to come in there and add value by solving the problems and challenges that they face, right?
Yes.
And to successfully do that, you have to have the knowledge and the skill sets. And you hit on a point that's really important there. The world keeps moving. Life keeps going on and things evolve and change. And if you yourself don't evolve, change, and grow with that, then ultimately you're getting left behind, right? There is no standing still because the world moves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even one of the like most recent examples I love, cryptocurrency was sort of this thing that the more stable sort of older school investors didn't touch. And now Ray Dalio, one of the more classic sort of contemporary warmer chill investors, is looking at cryptocurrency. So, you know, even that trend that may have started 10, 15 years ago is now something that even a guy who's, you know, maybe 50s or 60s, I'm not sure, maybe even higher than that, now has to go invest in and learn. So the world will pass you by. I mean, another example is think about when all the technology companies from Silicon Valley had to go testify in Congress. If you watched any of that, that's what happens when you don't stay up with the times, with the technology, with whatever is cutting edge in your industry.
Well, and you make some good points there around it's not, I think so many times with investing in your growth, we get stuck in this mindset of, well, I have to go to a workshop or I have to read a book or I have to have a coach or things like that that are more traditionally associated with investing in your growth. And I think all of those are very important, are all fundamental parts, especially in the soft skill development. But the point that you're making is this is just about knowledge in general of your industry and skill sets and understanding. And technology, I think, is a great point around this is that technology changes and you don't necessarily need to know every drop of everything on technology because
right.
There's just too much to know.
Right.
But you've got to keep up. You've got to have an understanding. You've got to feel comfortable in this stuff because if not, things will pass you by and you have to make that intentional approach to learning and investing in those skill sets.
That's it. And you can even invest in your network, keeping in touch with people. You can invest in proprietary knowledge that's not on the internet or not in a book, right? People oftentimes assume that it's all written down in an available book, and that's not the case. You can invest in managing your creative side of your mind, right? So arts and other things of that nature, nonprofit boards, you know, in your mental health, right? All these things sort of encompass your total person that you bring to work. And when you're investing in your growth, you really have to think through what is your pathway to getting your optimal performance through all the activities you do.
Pathway to optimal performance. I like that. So if I'm hearing you right in that, what we're really trying to do is say, okay, I'm here today. I want to go somewhere in the future, which is a better state, a better future than I'm in today. I think inherently as a human, and especially as a service provider, we're all typically pretty driven, motivated people. We want to make our lives better. We want to improve. We want to get to that next level. And the one thing, I'd love your thoughts around this, growth, and I think this is applicable in many ways, but growth doesn't have an endpoint. You don't achieve professional growth. You don't accomplish and, oh, I'm there, I've grown, I'm done. Rather, it's a journey, it's a process, it's something you're continuously doing and it never ends, right?
Right. I think every 5 or 10 years, you sort of realize how much you didn't know. So like if you look back at your like 18-year-old self that thought you knew something, and now think about your 25-year-old self that thought you knew something. And I won't go too far because I'll age myself, but maybe even your 30-year-old self and thought you knew something, and now you're thinking back and you like you didn't know squat. And the 5 years of knowledge or 7 or 10 or whatever it is between you and that last like goalpost, you almost feel like you've learned more than you may have learned in the whole body of learning before that, because you get more specialized and sort of the speed of understanding things changes. Or in the financial service industry, what ends up happening is you get all these academic things that you learn in sort of business school. You know, the greatest one is sort of an efficient market where everyone has equal access to data and all assets trade at the highest bidder at sort of the highest market price. And then when you get into finance as a practitioner, you realize there is almost infinitely imperfect data, and very seldom do assets trade at the highest potential price outside of maybe public market things that I think mirror that, but sort of all this mid-market stuff that you and I focus on don't. And so when you start learning this, you're saying, okay, so now I just learned something today. What's the thing I'm going to learn 10 years from now that I don't know now? And then when I'm sitting across the desk from a professional that may have been in my line of business for 20 years more than me, what things do they know that they may be competing with me on that it may take me the next 20 years to know? And so you just keep going.
You do. You continuously grow. You continuously learn. I love when you say, think about yourself 10, 15, 20 years ago, whatever the right time horizon is. And I argue to people, if you look back, and I would say even as short as 12 months in many cases, if you can't look back and clearly, very clearly see where you understand something or act differently or think differently or have some improved state of being today than you did previously, something's wrong.
Yeah.
You have to always be able to find that.
Look, you need to either win money-wise or win lesson-wise. You shouldn't be in situations where you're not doing one of the two. And if it's great, you actually win in both. But, you know, I'm an engineer undergrad, so, you know, sometimes I have to go back to nerd land. But if you think about design of experiment for anyone who's sort of in that capacity, if you don't set up your work such that you can gain the maximum knowledge, you're sub-optimizing too. So, for instance, in due diligence on a company, right, you got your 90-day window plus or minus to go from letter of intent signed to deal closing. Now, I've been in situations where, call it 60 days into that deal closing, I find something, a major sort of fib told by the seller, a major market trend that no longer gives me interest in the business, a broker who I lose all confidence in their integrity, and so therefore the business they're marketing has all types of new risks. You can just say, oh, forget this, I'm out, bye. A better approach may be to actually unravel what's here, what fooled you earlier in the first 60 days that you didn't see, how far were certain people willing to go to hide the truth. You know, we have these quality of earnings reports that we do for clients to actually check the financials of private companies. So most people, when they decide something's wonky in a deal, they cut the quality of earnings And I'm not saying go infinitely far, but you may want to actually call your service provider and ask them sort of, where did the guy hide the salami, right? How did this happen? Mm-hmm. And sort of, if I was smart next time, how would I find that out, you know, maybe before I started diligence on this company? And I think that's just one example of investing in your growth. You know, I've been on trips where the seller did something so crazy in the first half day of a 2-day trip that I should have flown home. I finished the trip to get the lesson.
Hmm. You make a point there, and I want to tell me if I'm right on this. In some way, it's the power of reflecting. And part of it, you have to finish the engagement. You have to kind of see things through. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to see everything to the end. But you have to see things through, not just walk away when things get tough. But what I heard there clearly, it's the reflecting. And it's looking back and saying, and your analogy or your example was, you're doing a quality of earnings, a due diligence report on a business you're closing on. You get 2 months in, 60 days in, you're 30 days from close. And you realize, oh, something is bad. There's fraud. There's this, there's that. And so, yeah, it does make sense. You probably don't want to close on the deal, especially if it's a really big impact. And so you walk away from the transaction. But the key is to really understand what happened, why, and where did you end up in that situation? What caused that challenge to happen? And then more importantly, how do you prevent it from happening in the future? How do you learn from the lesson? How do you learn from the mistake or the oversight or whatever it is so you can grow?
Yes. Yes. One of the most difficult things you do as a deal maker is negotiate. And I have a lot of great negotiation books on my shelves, and I read a lot of stuff on the internet because it's so difficult to do. But there's nothing like, you know, live bullets flying, right? It's on the job training, OJT. And so sometimes it's good to negotiate to get better at negotiating. Now, again, I'm not saying wasting people's time, but I think sometimes we shy away from things because they're painful or difficult. And sometimes that's an opportunity. That's a classroom. I mean, that's really what it is. You have another live negotiation, that's a classroom. You have another valuation to do, that's a classroom. So every experience, particularly the tough ones, are a classroom. And so one of the things I used to do with my partners when I was on an independent business buyer under Ellsworth Partners and Spartan Capital, is every quarter, if we were good, but definitely every year, we do postmortems on each and every deal. And we spend way more time than we spend on almost anything else going through, you know, on day one, day eight, day, you know, whatever. Here are choices we made to allocate time and resources. Here's where we screwed up. Here's where partner one got it better than partner two. Partner two got it better than partner one. Those are classrooms. Those are opportunities to learn. And they're in your data set. But if you don't take the time to invest, then it's just that thing didn't work. And on to the next, you kind of wasted
out. Why not? Well, in postmortem, I love that. I think postmortem is a great way to look at this. And I cannot remember where I heard this, some book somewhere that I read. And this is certainly paraphrasing what the quote was, but experience is the best teacher so long as you slow down to listen to what they have to say. And all too often, we all will experience. I need more reps.
Right.
Experience does make you better at stuff. That's how we learn. But you have to actually hear what the experience is teaching you. And that doesn't happen just by doing. That happens by stopping, reflecting, looking and saying, okay, what went wrong or even what went well, right? And one of a question I love, and this is a prompt that I use with clients, I use it in my own life a lot, to really sit down and ask yourself at any situation, what would you continue doing? What would you stop doing? And what would you start doing? Or what went well? What didn't go well? And where can you improve, right? These simple little prompts that you just ask yourself that and really sit and ponder on that for a little bit. And when we're talking about investing in your growth and improving and really taking yourself to the next level of growth, it is that reflection time of your experiences and asking those types of questions to yourself and being thoughtful and intentional around that that does open up where you're like, oh, wow. That makes more sense. I'm not going to make that mistake again. Or I've identified a weak spot that I can now go find a resource to help me learn in or wherever it might be. But if you don't stop to do that, then what happens, right? You never get anywhere.
You don't get anywhere. And one of the methodologies I use oftentimes, or sort of methodologies that I negate or disagree with almost on face, because it actually doesn't really happen in nature all that often. So how many times have you been around somebody who doesn't get what they want and they say that rich, smart, brilliant person is stupid? They made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I was talking to Bill Gates and he said this, he made a mistake. Oh, I'm talking to Warren Buffett and he passed on this deal and he made a mistake. Smart, dedicated, you know, well-prepared people don't often make mistakes. You often don't understand all of their constraints,
thoughts,
or motives. And so when you get into these situations and you're working with somebody, oh, this dummy did this. And you're like, let's actually unpack that. Because I think he's well-prepared and everything else I've seen him or her do. I think there may be some incentives here you didn't understand. Let's whiteboard this and try to figure out what kind of motives or incentives or constraints might actually define the behavior that you observed. And now look at those and kind of see, okay, so what one of these or ones of these did you miss in this sort of calibration of how you actually reacted in the situation? And now that you understand it, you know, these unwritten motives or intentions, whatever, now you can sort of look at it and say, you know what, the next time this happens, A, I might have something to say to kind of open up that thing that they wouldn't tell me proactively, but I might need to know. Or, you know, we both market our services, right? So when you think about a persona, you might think a persona is a single entity and find out it's really persona one and persona two based on this thing that you'll find out as you experience it more. So I think there's a lot of interesting ways to think about maximizing the utility, maximizing the benefit of the situation we find ourselves in. Like the other one I use all the time, you know, I'm trained to sort of keep my cool, right? Because I negotiate a lot. So when I find myself like in my top 10% of frustration professionally, I'm either at like a tremendous point of growth, right? Because if you push me to that last piece, a bunch of things happened where none of my safeguard prevented this, right? And I'm frustrated probably at myself for not avoiding the situation. But if I'm ever doing business and I'm like, oh, I can't find a good virtual assistant, or oh my gosh, I can't find a good CRM. When I get to that like last 10% of like frustration or being upset about those things, I know there's competitive advantage in sort of learning it. And so therefore, even like that most frustrated day you had, that actually may be the most intense learning environment you had.
This is Branch Out, a Connection Builders podcast.
Undoubtedly. So, Elliot, I want to hit on this, and this is going a little bit of my own soapbox around this. I'm a fundamental believer that growth, and we can talk about this in any aspect of growth in your life, it requires you to go outside your comfort zone. It requires you to be uncomfortable. The analogy that I always think to is you're pushing a boulder uphill. And to grow, that boulder is going uphill. And actually, snowball is a great example because it gets heavier the farther you push it up that hill. And if you are not feeling uncomfortable, if you are not feeling pushed and pressured and stressed in some aspect of your life, then you're missing growth opportunity. You're simply not going outside your comfort zone. And you have to go outside of it if you really want to achieve growth.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And so that's sort of the coin, right? So
yeah.
I'm stressed, I'm blessed because I'm learning, right? I'm not stressed, I'm blessed because I have some time to recover, but I can't stay in either place too long.
It's always a balance. It's always a balance between the two. I wholeheartedly agree. Let's talk about something you said earlier that I think is really important. This idea that practice makes perfect. And I think this goes for anything. I speak on networking a lot in my job. And I always talk about this idea that if you want to get good at networking, well, go network. Like I can give you any tool or skill or anything you want, but ultimately you have to practice it if you want to get better, period. And that's anything in life. And so I want to attack this from two angles. So number one, if I want to grow, I have to know in anything, if I want to get better at a great example for me, I've wanted to get better at my ability to write. So I force myself to write and journal every day because in doing that, I'm practicing, I'm getting better, and I can feel myself get better as I do it more and more and more consistently. The other side of that is just growth in general. If growth is important for me, I have to practice growing. I have to practice going outside of my comfort zone and putting myself in uncomfortable situations and really leaning into areas that I'm not good at so that I can get better. So any thoughts around the power of practice? And a real question for you, anywhere where you can see in your own life where you have just practiced something again and again and again, and eventually you gain some level of expertise or mastery in it?
Sure. So I'm going to comment on some of the things you said and then answer your question. Hopefully my mind can hold it that long. Let's see how good I am. So one of my favorite books on my shelf is You Can't Teach a Kid to Ride a Bike at a Seminar.
So true.
Because
so
it hits true. The nail right on the head. Hard stuff is hard because you got to practice. And then, so, you know, look, I'm a mid-career professional now. So people all the time are like, oh, it's too late, or, oh, you know, there's other people who know this, or, oh. And I kind of break it down and say, no, you're not okay with sucking at that thing. Because the beginning of practicing is you suck. You know, you've done way more podcasts than I'd had, right? I'm just getting started. Compared to you, I probably still suck. And I need to be okay with that to continually get better so that in a couple of years, whatever, there's some person outside that's like, hey, how'd you do this podcast thing? And now they can suck if they want to grow and then continue going. But it's sort of like in the ride a bike analogy, if you're too scared to scrape your knee, biking's not for you. Alternatively, the best bikers probably scrape the knees the most times. So that was sort of some commentary to what you said. And see, I lost that question. You asked a good one. What was it?
Where have you seen practice paying off in your career and your growth?
Probably the two hardest things I've had to learn professionally have been how to do a leveraged buyout model for an M&A transaction. And how to do
LBO
it.
LBO models are fun.
Yeah. You know, how to do it in a can, how to do it in the land, how to do it Sam I Am, how to know when you're looking at a good one, how to know when you're looking at a terrible one, how to know when somebody's 12 tab model is bull shiitake, when to know when somebody's 3 tab model is probably the best you've ever seen, which happened to me last month. I got a model from a bank, no less, that described the LBO experience better in 3 tabs than I've seen some people's 10 tab stuff do. So I would say that was one time. And talk about, you know, when I started, I remember going to work at a private equity firm that I was investing in my growth. I actually worked there for free during my first and second year at Harvard Business School. My guys were making $50,000, $60,000 in the summer. I invested in my growth, but that meant I walked in every day, didn't know what I was doing, learned as much as I could, called my friends who knew it, admitted right away that I didn't know and needed help, did a bunch of work that night, woke up in the morning, I still don't know it, get a little bit more help, go to work, not know anything, learn, do it again and again and again. So punched in the face a bunch of times. The second thing, and I'll put this out quicker, is just learning how to sell. People get scared of sales. They don't like marketing, don't like it. I've had to work on it and get better at it. I wouldn't claim expert, but I'll tell you, I remember when I was still scared to cold call. I remember who was sitting there with me kind of chuckling and laughing at me, and I just had to get over it.
Well, in Elliot, it's okay to suck. It's okay to not be good at something, and it's okay to admit that. One of the words, and for anyone that is a Brené Brown fan, and I know we've talked about a little bit of her work on some of the other podcasts, but her work around vulnerability is something I've spent a lot of time myself studying and learning and trying to open my mind to. And what's jumped out in that is when we talk about growth and we really talk about wanting to improve at anything, it requires vulnerability on our parts. And it's something we all, as humans, we struggle with, right? You never want to not be good. You never want to admit, oh, I have a flaw, I have a weakness, I have something that needs improvement. But growth, by its definition, means that I'm not at my peak performance, means that I can get better. Because if I was at my peak performance, if everything was as good as it possibly could be, then what would I be growing at? Like, there's no growth to occur if I'm already perfect.
I think you would just combust.
Exactly, right? Because you hit the ceiling already, right?
I can't get better at anything. Boom.
Yeah. But your point you're making that's so powerful there is that if you really want to grow, if you really say, hey, growth is important for me, I want to go, I want to continue to improve, that I have to really step back and say, well, I'm not that great at this. Or even if you are good at something, you have to be able to say, I have room for improvement. I can get better. And that can be a hard mindset. It really takes that vulnerability, that willingness, that openness to say, I suck. And maybe it's not even suck. I'm good, but I could get better, right? And that mentality of open for improvement, open and saying, I can improve. And I will say, when we talked earlier about the power of reflection and looking back at what you do to really see where you improved, when you go at that with an open, vulnerable mindset that says, hey, where can I get better? How can I improve? And you look at that with that critical eye of looking for areas of improvement, that's where you're going to see that stuff. Even if you do reflection, you're like, well, I'm perfect, but I'll reflect on how perfect I was. That's not getting you anywhere, right? You have to be open to how do I get better at this?
And entrepreneurship is sort of a perpetual vulnerability because you're always pushing stuff out before it's ready.
Yes, it is.
Or you're always waiting too long and missing opportunity. I mean, it's kind of, it's a sliding scale, right? I've known people that are like, aim, shoot. I know people who shoot, aim, shoot again. And either way is probably imperfect. I don't know anybody that would claim like a really good balance in that. I think the other thing entrepreneurially that's been incredible in growth, right? And you can't measure it. It's like the value of your gut, meaning
intuition.
And there's a market kind of concept here, right? So, you know, you learn about the market. I want to buy a share of stock. Am I the smart person buying or the dummy because the seller is smart and I'm going to take the L on this trade, right? And you're constantly figuring out, am I the smarter person or the dumber person and trying to evaluate where I am? Well, that goes into even having conversations about reflection. So one of the things I've had to get better at from an intuition perspective is something happened and blew up. You tell a couple of people that you, you know, have counsel with and they give you all these opinions about where you messed up or what happened or whatever. And you have to sit back and say, which one of the take and jest, right? And sort of act on versus some of the stuff that you'll get back. And even some of the stuff that hurts is right. Some of the stuff that hurts was sort of aimed at you. And being sort of comfortable enough with yourself to say, that comment, that hurt, does not matter based on my gut and intuition about what I know of this situation. I think I know it better than that person, I'm going to keep going. And you win and lose on your intuition, but as you develop it, you get better at least knowing when to trust it.
I could not agree more. And I believe that intuition, and we've said this a couple times now, the power of reflecting, I believe intuition can largely be driven and improved by that reflection, that time to think, that time to process outside of the situation, right? Because by definition, intuition is a gut feeling. I know this. I know what to do. I just kind of have the feeling of what to do without having to process and think about it. And that's because your brain has, and this is the human brain, is just such an amazing part of being human. You have this ability to underlying synthesize the information, the knowledge, and the facts that are available to you and make a gut reaction, say, this is how it is. And many times, and this is my own experience, I lean into my intuition a lot. I think as an entrepreneur, you have to, but I think in general, to really be successful in a fast-paced environment, leaning into your intuition is important. And that does not mean my intuition is always right. Like, actually, I know my intuition is wrong from time to time, and that's the learning opportunity, right? But you have to be able to lean into it and focus on when it is wrong, looking and saying, again, how do I grow? How do I learn? How do I improve? How do I make sure that the next time I'm faced with a similar decision, I come up with a better solution? And all of that comes down to finding that intentional time to really sit back and figure out how to invest in that growth, how to invest in yourself to increase your knowledge and your thinking and the way you approach things.
Yeah, there are times when my body tells me days before my mind can get there. I'll feel tight, tense. I'll be able to tell you like a level one rendition, if you will, of what the situation is. And then 3 or 4 days later, when my sort of mind catches up to my gut, my intuition, I'll say, no, it wasn't that. It was this other thing that was at the core of sort of what happened. And I think I've experienced that more and more, and I think it's probably a sign of growth and also particularly developing my gut, which, you know, to come back to the theme of your podcast, comes from reps.
This is Branch F, bringing you candid conversations with leading middle market professionals.
Elliot, this has been a great conversation. I wanted just to give a quick recap for our listeners here. Feel free to chime in the end if there's anything I missed. But we started talking about this idea that as a service provider, you're paid to solve problems. And problems will change. The world will continuously evolve. And there are multiple ways to accomplish and solve those problems. So ultimately, if you really want to continue to move forward and you really want to improve yourself, your life, your career, that requires an intentional focus on growth. And that's where you have to be willing to invest and put that time and that effort into growing. And ultimately, you have to say, what is the pathway to growth? Where am I trying to get? What can I learn? What resources can I find to really step back and make sure that I'm on the right direction, I'm heading in the right place, but also that I'm looking for those opportunities. And the way I find those opportunities is reflection. We hit on reflection a lot in here, but it's stopping and saying, you know, what went well? What didn't go well? What would I start, stop, or improve, continue? Simple questions, really simple questions, but more importantly, finding the time to ask them and ask them with an open mind. And then from there, we went into this idea that you have to go outside of your comfort zone. You have to really be willing to put in the time and the energy to lean into stuff. And when you're outside your comfort zone, it takes energy. It's not easy. It's psychologically, mentally, physically. Anytime you're doing something that's outside of a comfort zone, it will be draining. It will take more from you. And you have to lean into that discomfort and really use that as an opportunity to grow and reflect from it. And then practice makes perfect. This goes with anything. You have to get reps and experience. So if you're not good at something, go do it. You will get better. That doesn't mean that we'll get better at everything. You know, certain things, some people have strengths and weaknesses, but find out areas that are important for growth for you and then go practice them. Go look for opportunities because it's the only way that you're going to get better. And then we talked about vulnerability and being okay at sucking. I like that. Yes. It's a powerful statement, but open-mindedness and saying, hey, not everything's great. Like, I have room for improvement. I know that I'm confident with who I am. I feel good about who I am. I feel like I'm doing my best, but I know that there's room for improvement. So I'm open to looking, seeing, and hearing what that improvement might be and slowing down and listening for it. And all of that really drives to our last point of intuition, the power of intuition, the power of your gut. And really that as you invest in your growth more and you spend more and more time reflecting and gaining that knowledge and that insight and building that kind of internal meta of awareness, that's what drives your increased ability to have the right intuition, the right gut reactions, the right thoughts and feelings. But again, it all comes down to you have to make time, you have to invest in your growth, you have to put the time in. Elliot, anything you'd add to that?
I would say listen to the more mature people in your space, even if you think they're sort of past their prime, whatever that means to you. What you'll hear often is them telling you what they are terrible at. And if you see somebody 20 or 30 years past you admitting that they're terrible at something, you should be emboldened to do it too. I think it's maturity that sort of gets you there.
I couldn't agree more. So we're going to end this episode with a call to action. Usually I do one call to action. I'm actually going to do two today because you just added such a great point in there. So the first call to action, I want everybody in the next week to find time, just find 30 minutes of your day to stop and think about what's the last big challenge you face. What's the last time you're in an uncomfortable situation or you were annoyed or frustrated or felt like you might have failed? Something that you've done that was a challenge for you, and find 30 minutes to just ask yourself, what went wrong? What went well? How would I improve that? What would I continue? What would I change? Again, simple questions, but just really think on that. And I think you will uncover growth opportunities. And bonus points, do that with a journal. Write down your thoughts, capture them, and find and track that so you can act on those afterwards. The second call to action, based on what Elliot just said there, I think it's so powerful. Go find someone that is senior and mature in your industry or in your field, someone that you look up to. And this is, I understand, I'm not going to say do this in the next 7 days unless you can, but just find some time, reach out in the next 7 days, reach out to this person at least, and go ask them if they'd sit down, have a coffee, have a virtual coffee, just spend some time and say to them a real simple question. You look back on your career, what would you do differently? What mistakes did you make? What would you change? And just listen. Just listen. It's not about you telling them anything. It's about you listening because you're so spot on. People will share that and talk about things that are like, wow, I wish I'd done this different. And that's your opportunity to learn from someone else's mistakes, which saves you the pain of going through the same thing, right? And so absolutely want everyone to find time to do that. So Elliot, this has been a great conversation. Again, I really appreciate your contribution and being on here. For our listeners, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. So my email is eholland, E-H-O-L-L-A-N-D, at guardiandudiligence.com, GuardianDuelingence.com. And then I'm on LinkedIn, Elliot Holland, two L's, two T's. And then at the handle on my email, you can find all kinds of information. I'm responsive in all of those places.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We'll make sure that's linked in the show notes here for you. And Elliot, again, appreciate your time and your contribution to the show here.
Thank you, Alex. It's been great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Share this podcast with your professional network to help others connect, grow, and excel. Like what you hear? Leave us a review. And don't forget to subscribe now.